This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Moving forward, using all my breath.
We got about 22 minutes before 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. It's about 57 degrees, a little chilly, but absolutely beautiful on this grand spring day. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. So glad you're with us. It's Wednesday afternoon. Brian Wheeler is live in studio. That song brings back memories, doesn't it?
It does.
Fraternity parties in the 80s, drinking back in the day when we would drink.
No comment. No comment, Coy.
I would close down the bars, put it that way. Not anymore. It's been a while. I haven't had a drink in, what is it? How many years is it? 95. 16 years, I think.
Good for you.
May 1st of 1995.
But if you do that, everything in moderation, right?
If you do what? I'm not a moderation guy, Brian. That's my problem.
Yeah. I've seen you.
People who know me well know I don't do moderation well.
I've seen you eating pie, Coy. I know.
So you tell us that a lot has happened in the past week in the purview of Charlottesville tomorrow.
A lot has happened. Gosh, I was in here Monday, and so it seems like an extra amount of things have happened.
Yeah, it's been very busy.
So both the city and county approved budgets. Big news.
They got to be glad that's done.
You know, that whole process really gets into gear in October, and they start making their assumptions. They make their long-range plans. School divisions start pulling together their funding request. And so it seems like half the year we are covering the budget, and we are. But we're finally in April. There's a tax rate for each locality. There's a budget for each locality. Now we move on.
And the counties is sort of stripped to the bone, but the city has some extra money. Is that it?
Well, the city would say they're making strategic investments in their priorities, I think, is how they would frame that. They did keep both localities.
Which implies they have some extra money. They have the ability to make strategic investments. They have the ability to make stupid investments, any kind of investment.
Well,
the county has a zero budget for that kind of stuff, you know?
That's
right?
True.
No new sidewalks, no new libraries, no new fire stations, nothing.
Here are some of the interesting things in the city's budget. They put, other projects in the capital improvement plan include $1 million for the Charlottesville Housing Fund, $625,000 for the city's contribution for the YMCA in McIntyre Park, $250,000 for stormwater initiatives. They've got some other things here. Let's see. They've got $50,000 that's going to go into bike infrastructure, bike and, you know, pedestrian improvements along our roads. But they also chose not to do some things that are kind of interesting. They chose not to spend $110,000 to increase transit bus routes. And they were flirting with expanding bus routes into the county further, but the county didn't have any money to pony up to help them with that, so they declined to do that. What else have we got here? Anyway, yeah, they're making strategic investments.
Well, that's why historically cities have been able to annex urbanized land, because they would be the ones to fund the bus routes into places where you need it. As a result, we have urbanized land, this urban ring around the city of Charlottesville that's owned by the county. They got no bus routes, so the bus routes don't go out there.
And of course, we can't get through this conversation without not mentioning revenue sharing. So one of the reasons the city can make some strategic investments along the lines of taking care of that urban infrastructure is that Albemarle County cut them a check for $18.5 million in revenue sharing. So that's another tool that the city has to make some of those investments.
I could see the county taxpayers saying, use that money to extend the bus routes into the urban ring.
We know some high school students asked me about that recently. So
really? I'm impressed.
They are connecting the dots as
Indeed,
well.
Indeed, yeah. Now connect those dots.
You mentioned the county's slimmer budget, and yes, it is slimmer.
Is it emaciated?
Tax rate is the same. And, you know, what? One of the things that's interesting, Coy, is as far as strategic investments, Dennis Rooker was one of the supervisors who said, you know, let's set aside a couple pennies of the tax rate. Let's increase the tax rate by a couple pennies so it's basically equalized, so you wouldn't pay any more than you did in the previous year. But let's take that money that results from that kind of investment and put it into transportation, put it into other capital projects. This is a great time to be building things because things are cheaper. We're seeing that in the Meadow Creek Parkway. The bids coming in are lower. In fact, the business community is very concerned right now that if we don't act quickly on those two elements of the Meadow Creek Parkway that are in the city of Charlottesville, McIntyre Road Extended and the interchange, that we could be losing money as a community. If we're going to build those things, they would say now's the time to do it because it's going to be a lot cheaper. Put the bids out now and let's figure that out.
Yeah.
Anyway. But the county has decided not to...
always a sense of urgency.
The county has decided not to invest that money this year. And I was talking to members of the board today because tonight, Coy, they're going to be talking about road funding. It's called the 6-year secondary road plan.
Are they meeting tonight?
They are meeting tonight. It's Wednesday, and that's what they do, the second Wednesday of the month. Well, talking about the 6-year plan. The 6-year plan is kind of a joke because it has projects on there that won't be funded in the next 20 years.
Why? Where do we do this?
But we call it the 6-year plan because at some point in our history, that made sense. That you could only put on this list enough things to get done in 6 years.
They just rename it the wish list.
It is a wish list.
You know, right. There's no money for
so
this stuff.
I asked the supervisors, should you have invested that money the way Mr. Rooker was encouraging you to? And, Dwayne Snow said, no, this was not the year to do that. At this point, we just need to look at that next year. I asked Rodney Thomas about that, and he said we decided to focus the budget this year on the spending side and not the income side, and he thinks more scrutiny needs to be given to spending. So that's one member of the Board of Supervisors, and he said, we didn't want to invest the money that way this year. So that idea of setting some pennies aside to build roads and get some of these priority projects off that 6-year list that have been hovering there for a long time.
Yeah. So you got roads that have been on the 6-year list for longer than 6 years that have never been built?
Correct. Sure. So Jarman's Gap Road, that's been on there at least a decade. That's out in Crozet.
They need to change the name of that, Brian. Can you make that happen? You're the guy who goes to all the meetings.
I just point these things out on the radio, Coy. Nobody listens to me anywhere else.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, Charlottesville Tomorrow, SeavilleTomorrow.com. Now, the county also endorsed some zoning changes. And this, we've talked about this many times, the heavy industrial stuff.
I previewed that on the last show.
Yeah.
And in fact, they did talk about it that Tuesday night, and they did endorse the changes. So what's happening now is...
The supervisors or the Planning Commission?
The Planning Commission. This recommendation will go to the Board of Supervisors in June. But right now what's happened is the County Planning Commission looked at the availability of industrial zoning throughout the county, both heavy and light industrial zoning. And what they said was the staff recommended, we could create opportunities for more heavy industrial activities if we allowed it on light industrial land. With a special use permit. That special use permit's key because that requires an extra level of permission and review.
You can't just do it by right, light industrial, and all of a sudden you want to be heavy industrial.
Right.
So you got to go get permission, but it's likely they're going to give you permission. That's what the signals they're sending here.
Well, the staff is saying there's a shortage of heavy industrial property in Albemarle County. A lot of it is out in Crozet. The Yancey Lumber Mill is certainly one of the biggest pieces of heavy industrial land that we have in the county right now. But some of the activities, in case you're wondering, what can you do on heavy industrial land? It's things like brick manufacturing, concrete mixing plants, fire and rescue squad stations, machine shops.
A firehouse is heavy industrial?
Yeah, it's on the list there.
Why would that be heavy industrial?
Buy right in a heavy industrial district. I guess big trucks. Metal fabrication, recycling and manufacture of tires, things like that.
Phew.
So sawmills. So those things that are allowed by right today in heavy industry, the county is saying, we are willing to consider those things in any light industrial property in the county if the circumstances are right.
Yeah.
If it won't negatively impact the neighbors and we're going to require this extra review, we'll issue a special use permit. And so it'll be done on a case-by-case basis.
So this is one way to get more heavy industrial business options in the county without going out and rezoning land. You've already got industrial land. You're just changing it from light to heavy.
Right.
On a case-by-case basis.
That's right.
The only challenges are going to be the people who live near some of these light industrial sites when they find out that that light industrial might become heavy industrial and they're going to start a lumber mill there or making bricks or tires or something.
Well, Neil Williamson from the Free Enterprise Forum was at the meeting, the public hearing, and he's an advocate for the business community, and he said this is a good small step in the right direction towards being more business friendly, but he acknowledged what you just said. He said there will be negative feedback from neighbors, you know, who are on these light industrial, near these light industrial properties today. And he was having trouble envisioning how, you know, and how many applications would actually come through and get approved. But on the other side, you know, staff said there's new technology today. Some of these things that used to be a heavy industry and used to, you know, off gas, sounds, smells, whatever.
Chemicals, yeah.
Can now be done with newer technology and really have a less of an impact on their surrounding neighbors.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler at 12 minutes before the hour of 5 p.m., 57 degrees here in Central Virginia. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. Greg is in Albemarle County. Greg, you're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, good.
Corey. I just think that really, I'm going to comment and y'all can comment back, that, you know, as much as I love our pristine county and I love land, there's a reality of the fact that a lot of kids come out of high school and they need a blue-collar type job. And I would welcome some sawmill, brick manufacturing, like steel fabrication plants. I remember where the old tracks was downtown in Charlottesville, and I remember a sawmill downtown Charlottesville. You know, it takes some of those industries to employ children, and then also it would lift some of the burden off of the homeowner's property tax to build roads with these new businesses. It would kill two birds with one stone. It would give kids out of school who are not academic a job, and it would create revenue to build roads. I think right now we have too much burden on the homeowner to build roads and provide for schools, and I'm just going to let you all.
Well, there's no, I totally agree with the last point, and there's no question about that, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And I agree with Greg. There's a lot of positives that could come of this. The larger question is are heavy industrial businesses knocking down our door to locate in Albemarle County? That's what I don't get. Do we have a whole bunch of folks who are sitting out in the hall waiting to do these businesses here?
Not that I'm aware of, Coy, but there's the message that the majority on the Board of Supervisors today wants to send is that we're open for business. This is a way that...
So this is more of a signal than a, hey, we got to do something quick because these businesses need a place to go.
That's how I look at it. We did, in fact, ask staff that question. We said, tell us a business that's pushing for this. Can you name somebody who's come to you and said, we need this change put in place?
Yeah.
And they said, well, there isn't one. There's not one applicant asking for this. This is a recommendation from staff based on the inventory they did of industrial land. And I think what some of the points Greg made are very much the points made by the supervisors that ran for office. They said they wanted to help diversify the tax base. They wanted to encourage economic development. This is a way to do that.
And the voters obviously support that.
One of the challenges is when you run into those voters who this impacts them in their backyard. And so when you're living next to land that's zoned light industry, you bought your house knowing the types of activities that could take place there.
Now they might change it on you.
If this could change, then, you know, I asked one member of the community out in Ivy what he thought about this. And he said that in his mind, zoning was a contract between the county and the citizens of Albemarle, and that if the county decided to change what was allowed on the light industrial property near him in the Ivy Business Park, that, you know, he would feel like the trust had been violated.
And it's fighting words, Brian.
So that's another perspective, and you know, is going to be, that's why this is going to be a real location-specific, case-by-case kind of analysis. Certainly, the public will come out in these situations. They'll give feedback to the Board of Supervisors, the Planning Commission, and that's why they get to make these decisions at the end of the day.
Greg, thanks for the call. We got a line open at 977-1070. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. What's the latest on the Crozet Master Plan that's being revised, right?
Well, the Crozet Master Plan was the first plan completed by Albemarle County. It's a 20-year plan for the growth area in Crozet. It was approved in 2004. These master plans get a 5-year review. So we're in the 5-year review period right now for the Crozet Master Plan. Of course, the big issue there, Coy, is population and future industrial activity. And I won't spend as much time on that because the population piece is new. You and I have talked about on this show how when the master plan was finished and the Old Trail Village development was approved, suddenly people realized as they started studying the master plan more closely that a whole lot more people could live in Crozet than they...
They changed the numbers on them.
...that they really understood.
Yeah.
In fact, right now, Crozet has around 5,300 people. The master plan, the community thought, got them to about 12,000, 12,500. When the county studied it further, they found they could put 24,000 people.
So they just went ahead and changed that number.
Well, now the community is weighing in and saying, yeah, we want to change that number back. Get us back as close to
the original plan.
Because that's what we agreed to.
Yeah.
And the county is doing that.
No kidding. And the economy shows that Old Trail isn't going to bring you the number of peoples that you thought, at least as fast as you thought, right?
Well, not as, yeah, the timing is always the question. You know, these developments get approved. There may be 200 homes in Old Trail today, but they're approved for, I think, 1,200. Or maybe it's 2,000. I'm mixing up that number. But anyway, how the population numbers changed? It was 24,000 maximum build-out number that the county interpreted. With changes to the plan based on community feedback, that number is now down to 15,000 to 17,000. So again, that's an ultimate build-out number. Nobody knows when that will happen. But it helps with this master planning process to set, you know, the framework for what types of growth can happen.
How many homes can go in this part of the map, and what kind of density, and how many people? And
density is the big question.
Yeah.
Where do you want that density? Where do you want that urban density? And of course, the people in Crozet have said, you know what? We like the urban density in downtown Crozet. That's the heart of our community.
Yeah.
And
that's always been one of the really cool things about Crozet, is you have this little community village downtown atmosphere that you can, if you live close enough, you can walk to it, and it's nice. It's really nice.
Well, and speaking of walking to downtown Crozet, that's one of the reasons Jarman's Gap Road has been on the 6-year road plan, is to get sidewalks and bike lanes on Jarman's Gap Road, because a lot of development has happened out Jarman's Gap over the years. Wayland's Grant, Old Trail, on and on down that road, and there is not a good safe way to use that road.
And you got kids with their bikes on that road all the time.
So guess where they're going to go? They're going to go to downtown Old Trail, because that's going to be a lot easier, right?
Well, that's what the developers hoped, isn't it?
So that's the competing vision for the future of Crozet. Where's the heart? Where's the downtown? Where's the emphasis of new development going to be? And the community, though, has weighed in on this, and given what the county staff and community members said, was it was a very positive exercise. One of the things still hanging out there, though, is the verdict on the Yancey Mills Business Park proposal. That's outside the Crozet growth area. Will Yancey would like to convert that rural land that hugs the sawmill into a light industrial business park. And the community has said pretty emphatically that they are opposed to that. That question has already been reviewed by the Planning Commission in years past. They rejected it. The Board of Supervisors told them, consider it again in the Crozet Master Plan review. They've done that. And what we heard at the meeting last week, Coy, was some commissioners saying, you know what, I still need more information on that. Others, like Tom Loach, saying, I've heard enough. I heard enough before, and it's still not a good idea. So there's a diversity of opinion by the Planning Commission. Whatever happens with the Planning Commission, though, the Board of Supervisors will weigh in on this and make the final decision.
Yeah, and we pretty much know which way they'll go.
I don't know. It's going to be, it will be interesting.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. It's just about 3 minutes before 5 o'clock here. We're going to CBS for an update on national and international news. Brian, we're just about out of time, but remind folks tonight, the Albemarle County...
Two interesting things tonight. The Board of Supervisors starts meeting at 6 o'clock. Remember that Arden Place development out Rio Road near the Putt-Putt Lane?
Yep.
Arden Place and a trail into Woodbrook. The Board of Supervisors is going to reconsider that item tonight. It'll be in tomorrow's paper, and I'm certain on WINA.
There you go. Brian Wheeler, the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.